With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
In the craziness of the world, we lost some friends. We did. Unfortunately, people parted ways, and then new people come into your life, hopefully. And in my case, there's lots of different musicians and new friends, or hopefully friends that I've made along the way. And my next guest, I count among them. His name is Gene Owens, and he is the singer-songwriter and creative force behind the band Faithless Town. Faithless Town's newest release, Into the Light, is a two-part album that explores the themes of love, empathy, revelation, and defiance to tyranny. He's been really good with that over these last years. And his new single is called Woke Town, which we're going to hear soon. And I think it's celebrating wokeism. He talking about how much he loves the new woke life everyone is living. Right, Gene? That's what... You're celebrating wokeism with Woke Town, right? Did I get that right?
This song is the most inclusive song I've ever done. So if anyone's out there who listens to it and sees the video that you're going to play later and they don't like it, there's no doubt about it that you are a science-denying, right-wing extremist bigot. So absolutely, this song is a celebration of diversity, equity, and inclusion and all things woke. But seriously, it's mocking all of that. You know, I think mockery is.
There's a funny meme I was just thinking about when you were going on that little tirade, Gene, that little woke tirade you just went on, which was it's a funny one I just saw this week, and it was it's hard to communicate memes. That's what makes memes great. They're a visual thing. But anyway, there's this a girl. And the guy's like saying, tell the truth. And she's like, I'm concerned with climate change. And he goes, tell the truth. I'm concerned with climate change, it says. And then he goes, please tell the truth. And she goes, I love communism. And he goes, thank you. It's pretty funny.
I've seen it. Yeah. And it's spot on. Yeah, man. And that's what we're dealing with. You know, the modern left have become just straight Marxist. You know, all the things that. I mean, I would have considered myself part of the left my whole life, you know, it's anti-war.
Me too, brother.
I was pro-choice.
Pro-free speech. Remember when that speech. was a leftist ideal all the whole time I was alive. I thought we were like the pro-free speech people. That's how they duped me in.
Yeah. Yeah. Anti-censorship, pro-women's rights, racial equality, bodily autonomy, all those things that we thought of as, you know, and that are truly liberal ideals. When the left was liberal, they embraced them. But now the modern left everywhere, seemingly not just in America, but globally, has adopted these far left radical Marxist ideologies. And I think all that can kind of be encapsulated under the umbrella of woke.
When you say women's rights, and not to jump into the deep end of the pool straight away, I'm just curious what you mean by that. Are you a pro-choice person, or are you pro-life?
Well, yeah, we're just diving right into it. I like
I'm
it right
sorry,
off the
dude.
Bat.
I should have edited that. We can just like skip that question if you want, but it just it brought that up, and I was curious because just curious where you stood on that.
No, it's all good, man. I would still consider myself pro-choice, but I think what we've seen recently, where there's like certain states like New York that were literally allowing late term abortions up to 9 months, I think that's right. Where it gets insane. And I think that's, you're just talking, that's just, there's no way to cut it. That is murder of a child. I don't like the ability of the state to intervene and tell people what they can do and can't do with their bodies. So I say in the general sense, I am pro-choice, but I do understand that, you know, the history of Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger, it is a very nefarious one. You know, Margaret Sanger was a racist, a known eugenicist, and she helped to fund and create Planned Parenthood, which has basically created a genocide of the unborn and especially severely impacting the Black population of America. So exactly. You know, I understand all that history, but I don't want the government telling people what they can and can't do with their body. And I think and some of this stuff shouldn't even be up for debate, like late term abortion. But yeah, so the short answer is yes, I'm still pro-choice.
Right. And that's a good answer. I think that's a measured answer. It's, and I brought it up not to like put you in the hot seat straight away, but just more to talk about the fact that, like, yeah, we come from this sort of leftist mentality, and it would be like obvious about, you know, yeah, you're pro-choice, of course, when you're in that mode. And then you see how the last few years have unfolded, and it kind of flips all your old belief systems on their head to some degree, right? It makes you reconsider these things that we once thought were like, of course I'm this way. And then you're like, well, maybe there's something to what those other guys were saying.
Yeah, and I do think there is something to what the other side is saying. And I would like us to get to a point where nobody feels the need to, you know, end the life of their unborn child. And I think what's happening now is that abortion is really being promoted, and they always use the words of like, they always dress everything up. You know, it's a great Marxist tactic of, you know, dressing something up with really fancy, compassionate sounding terminology to describe something really gross, disgusting, right? Like reproductive health care or gender affirming care for children, like gender affirming care for children. So, but what you're really saying is like, you want to chemically castrate children and advocate for sex changes for children under 18. That's insanity. But you dress it up as gender affirming care. That sounds nice. And that seems like that would appeal to the liberal mindset. But yeah, man, it's been a wild ride the past few years.
Well, the gender affirming care, quote unquote, you know, that one has shifted dramatically over the last couple of years. I remember, you know, a year and a half ago or whatever, it was controversial to even say that you thought that was wrong, that, you know, and now it's shifted. It's like, you know, people are resisting wokeism to a large degree. I think people are kind of coming back around to common sense. And, you know, Bill Maher talks about these things a lot as like a famous left guy that's got a huge megaphone in the culture. He's appealing to common sense mentalities as well. And you know, I got to respect him for that. He puts his fan base on the line and sort of stands up for a common sense approach. I don't agree with everything he says, of course, but a lot of it's pretty good.
I agree. I mean, he's definitely, it seems like his eyes have been opened over the past few years, especially with the whole COVID scam and the COVID 1984 tyranny that was thrust upon the world. I just want to circle back real fast to when I had mentioned women's rights and how that is no longer a leftist principle or something that they seemingly support. I was speaking more for like women's only spaces, which have now, and women's sports, women's bathrooms, women's only groups that have now up for grabs for men that, you know, want to identify as a woman. And to me, that's complete lunacy. And that's, to me, undoing all the things that these leftist activists have achieved in the past, like true feminists that just wanted equality. They wanted to not just be the property of a man and have equality under the law and have their own bathrooms, have their own sports divisions. And now all that is being undone by the people that claim to be liberals and leftists.
So you think women should be able to vote? Is that what you're saying?
I think everybody should be free to throw their vote away. I think it's,
I wonder if you saw, I almost said Bill Clinton for some reason. That's weird. That's a weird Freudian shift right there that happened to me. I wonder if you saw RFK Jr. on Bill Maher last night. He did an interview with him and it was pretty interesting. They went through Moderna being recalled or potentially being recalled. And Bill Maher was like, that's the one I got. And, you know, RFK Jr. was talking about how all cause mortality of the people that got the vaccine was way through the roof and all that kind of stuff. It's It's interesting. I don't know what you think of RFK Jr., but his rising in the sort of presidential race as a serious contender is definitely shifting the narrative. Did you happen to catch that interview?
I didn't catch the interview. I saw a few clips late last night that were circulating on Twitter. I mean, I think it's great. Like, I love the work that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has done in the, you know, vaccine injury awareness space and the parental rights front, and him speaking out over the last 4 years of the COVID tyranny, that as I call it. I think all that's been great. And I do think it is a positive thing that he is running for president and that it is affecting the overall narrative. I have my reservations with him just when it comes to who he picked for his vice president. You know, it seems like, I don't know if that was just a choice for, because she could fund his campaign better. But I mean, he's a Kennedy. He's got to have that, some of that moolah. So I don't know why he would choose to pick this like big tech Silicon Valley mogul who's, you know, donated millions, I think, to the Biden administration and Biden campaigns. I'm just so kind of black-pilled at this point when it comes to voting in general. Like, I've seen people that were like great community leaders and friends of mine that did a lot of excellent activism over the last few years, and they can't even seem to win like city council positions. And then it's seemingly like some like outsider that wins that probably has ties to like George Soros and dark, you know, money behind the doors that gets elected. So I just don't really put a lot of faith in our electoral system anymore. And I just don't think we're going to be able to vote our way out of it. I think it's going to have to be a little more drastic than that, unfortunately. But I would love to see RFK win if, you know, our votes really do matter and count. I would love to see him win over those two other options.
Right. So you're not a Trumper. You won't go there yet.
Absolutely not. I saw last night on Twitter, and I don't know if this, I haven't fact checked this yet, but that maybe on Truth Social, Trump was tweeting out that RFK's views on vaccines are fake. Did you see this?
No. Do tell.
Yeah, I'm somebody, you know, look into it. But because you got to trust, you got to be skeptical of everything now, but especially everything on a screen. And making a screenshot is the easiest thing. I mean, now they can use AI to just recreate your voice, recreate your you know, your visual appearance. And it's crazy territory we're entering. But yeah, I'm not a Trumper. I think Trump is a con man. I think Trump, I really doubt if the COVID takeover of 2020 could have happened had Clinton been in office. Like, I think we would have seen a greater uprising.
That's true. Absolutely 100% true. That is a black pill that I've taken, and I totally agree with it. There's no way people would have resisted lockdowns if there wasn't some supposed like freedom fighter in the White House, for sure.
Yeah. And getting back to Marxism, there was during the Bolshevik Revolution, there was a thing called Operation Trust that the Bolsheviks put out, basically saying like, trust the plan, very similar to a lot of the QAnon stuff that was floating around, you know, the conspiracy theory and conservative circles, like, just trust the plan. Trump's still in charge. Even though Trump didn't win the election, he's still really, you know, there's military tribunals. They did the right same thing during the Bolshevik Revolution to keep people that were allies of the Tsar docile and keep them. Keep them at bay.
What was he saying about RFK Jr., that he's not really anti-vaccine at all, that this whole thing has been a front? I mean, that seems hard to fathom, really.
He literally, I think the quote was his views on his fake vaccine views was what I got out of that. If that is a legitimate Truth Social tweet, that
right,
RFK is like a joke and his views on vaccines are fake. But that's also coming from Papa Pfizer, who still brags about Operation Warp Speed and takes full credit for it and says it was this, you know, it's what saved humanity, when really it was a crime against humanity. And the fact that he brags about it. And I mean, not just the vaccine, also that he He had Fauci as the head of his coronavirus task force. He didn't have to do that. He's the sitting president. He could have made, he hired Scott Atlas at some point, I think, just to like save face, like, because all he had were these like pharma shills, like Fauci and Burks, you know, flanking him for those meetings and those press conferences in the early days of COVID. And then he hired Scott Atlas, but Scott Atlas never gave us like press conferences. Can you imagine if Scott Atlas was up there telling people, don't worry, this is really being blown out of proportion and we shouldn't trust anything coming out of China and just be calm and we should not shut down our businesses. It would have been a whole different climate and not the climate of fear and hysteria that we are all under.
So true. If, you know, if he's if it's legit that he's going after RFK Jr., that bodes well for RFK Jr. That must mean he's got a real head of steam, right? I mean, Trump would just ignore him if he wasn't a threat.
That's true. Yeah. I think it's just the fact that we're down to, I mean, he's the only glimmer of hope, right, in this election. They're just going to do, they're doing a rerun of the 2020 election. It's just Joe Biden, which is just an empty husk of a person that may not even be a real, you know, at this point, I don't even know. Is that really Joe Biden when we see him? It looks like there's four different Joe Bidens. He always looks different. Sometimes he's terribly, really coherent. Sometimes he can't even like get through one sentence. That could just be maybe the meds he's on that day, what they're pumping him full of. You know, and I think Biden is intentionally, he's dangled out there like as this hollow husk of a puppet to show the people that like your vote doesn't matter. Your president doesn't represent you. It represents these other real puppeteers behind the curtain.
It's true. It feels like a disempowering humiliation ritual on some level. It's just so absurd at this point. You know, it's hard. It's hard for me to really be passionate about any of the candidates at all. I don't even know. I've sort of, it's just hard. I feel like I'm watching a movie. I feel like I'm watching a show and it's like, I could say rah, rah, rah about one of them, but they all have issues in my view that are disturbing. And yeah, it just feels
it's
like
professional wrestling at this point.
Yeah. That's what
it's literally like. Professional wrestling.
Let me take a quick break. We're going to come back and listen to Woke Town by Faithless Town. We got Gene Owens. Keep listening to TNT. We'll be right back.
Johnny Vedmore, TNT.
It doesn't matter what you think about the Jewish people. If you don't agree with the IDF murdering women and children, then you are an anti-Semite, of course. This is an extremely dangerous game. Once upon a time, that word actually meant something quite powerful. Actually, it caused people to lose their jobs. It led to politicians losing elections. It led to people's lives being ruined, and sometimes even led to jail terms. Now, it leads to people saying, get lost. There is only a certain amount of times that you can accuse people of being something they're not, and in this situation, those times have definitely passed.
Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk. TNT.
The Light is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website, thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. The Light Paper. Not far right, just right so far. thelightpaper.co.uk.
Today's News Talk Radio.
I do a lot of streaming radio.
I do a lot of free streaming.
TNTradio.live.
And we're back with Gene Owens from the great band Faithless Town. We're going to listen to the new single called Woke Town very soon. Gene, I got a question for you. As a singer-songwriter and now a freedom fighter, do you have freedom fighter weariness kicking in? Do you just want to go back to making music for music's sake? Do you feel like you're on a mission all the time? Are you sick of talking about COVID tyranny, or does it fuel you?
I think I probably fluctuate back and forth. I mean, there's, and I do both, you know, like I do think about the world and think about these external issues. And I think about the WEF and the Great Reset and some of those things you were addressing, that song that played before our interview started. And but then at the same time, I just want to write like love songs, too. And that was a lot of the last record I put out, where it was like side one was dealing with a lot of those external issues and like the lockdowns and the government tyranny and the corruption of the, you know, the pharmaceutical industry. And then the other side was basically like an acoustic album devoted to my wife and like friends that, you know, had passed away. So I try to balance both. You know, I like to think like John Lennon was really good at doing that. I used to think in some ways like Bruce Springsteen was really good at doing that. Some of my favorite songwriters address social issues, but also could write like heartbreakingly personal songs.
Yeah, John Lennon was the best at that, I think. And Bob Dylan was interesting with that and remains interesting. I mean, he never speaks publicly about divisive issues. I wish I was maybe a bit more like that sometimes. I mean, he's pretty smart along those lines. And they would try to pull him into this and that. And then he would be controversial with putting out Christian records and stuff like that. But yeah. He had an interesting trajectory. I'm sure John Lennon would have been much more vocal publicly.
It's so hard to tell, you know, we've talked about this at length in the past, but just like where some of our favorite artists would fall and how they would have reacted to, you know, 2020 through, you know, to present day. Like, would have George Carlin would have made a mockery of all this, or would he have been wearing a mask? Would John Lennon have been speaking out, or would he be kind of buying into the collectivist kind of co-opted new left? It's really hard to say. But hey, real fast, I did find that that Trump truth post just real fast. He says, "I'd even take Biden over Jr." Speaking of RFK Jr., because our country would last a year or two longer.
Dude, hold on, pause. Yeah, I'll let you read it, but just right there, just genius. Holy moly, calling him Junior. It's just like, dude, that's the first I heard that. But there it is right there. I mean, that guy's got a skill for putting down his opponents, you know, calling 100%. Him Junior.
That's dude, funny. I think Trump is maybe the best stand up in the country. If you see this, you see him riff.
He is. Even his haters have to admit he's funny. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, like if you want to sell out the biggest comedy tour, put Dave Chappelle, like Shane Gillis and Trump, go world tour. It would kill. So I'd even take Biden over Junior because our country would last a year or two longer prior to collapse, but it would be dead either way. His views on vaccines are fake, as is everything else about his candidacy.
Interesting. Yeah.
Now he posted on
Strong
True Social.
Language. Yeah, strong language. I don't know. I think his views on vaccines are far from fake. I mean, the guy's well researched and he's taken bold, bold stances on all that, you know, when it was really dangerous to do it. I think he's very genuine about that stuff. So I don't get where Trump is coming off with that. And yeah, that's Trump's 100%. Big Achilles heel. I don't know why he doesn't address it. I guess he just can't, or he's in you know, he's in Big Pharma's pockets or something, who knows. But that's his Achilles heel, although it seems like his devoted following is willing to forgive him for still backing the mRNA stuff.
Yeah, Trump's views on vaccines are fake. Trump's bragging and saying projection. Operation Warp Speed. Yeah, it is 100% projection.
It totally is. All right. Well, let's get into some music now. Well, you want to set up this video and this song for us, Gene?
Yeah. So we're going to play Woke Town.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. So last time I was on the show, it was like a day before the song came out. So I just did an acoustic rendition of it live. But the music video hadn't come out yet. So this is the music video I cut together. And it is just, it's a celebration of wokeness in all its grandeur, of all the diversity, all the inclusion, all the tolerance of the modern left. So enjoy. Welcome to Woketown.
Here we go. Woke town. Faithless town.
Nazi scum! Off our streets! Nazi scum!
They'll tell you that hate has no home here. Where they bully and harass, trying to make you live in fear. They'll tell you that they're all about diversity and love. Where they burn your business down, lies, scream, shove. There ain't no love. God. They worship new idols like Fauci the fraud. They want you Muslim with a mask upon your face. Make sure you're carrying your vax card so it makes them feel safe.
There ain't no love in Wu-Tang.
They'll call you a racist, a transphobe, a bigot. And if you don't bend the knee and toe the party line, they'll try to cancel you and ruin your whole life.
'Cause there ain't no love in
Make the left liberal again. Faithless towns, woke town. Gene, you cut that video together, huh?
I did.
I think you used CapCut. I recognize the font of the woke town, the initial woke town. I'm a CapCut guy myself. I've become a video editor because I've had to become one. Have you developed a bunch of new skills in promoting your music in terms of, like, back in the day it used to be like we get video makers and all these people, now we have to promote ourselves online, we have to learn all these new skill sets. How do you manage your time? I'm looking into like taking a time management course or something like this.
Yeah, man. I've definitely had to learn a whole new set of skills to be an independent artist. So, you know, I've basically taught myself graphic design. I did the cover of our last record, both of them. That's kind of, I designed that. I've been doing all our music videos. I shot one with my wife like years ago for an album we put out in like 2016, just shot it all on iPhones, cut it together. I shot another one that was like kind of like a short film and got that into like film festivals. And yeah, I've just, and then kind of doing like the found footage collaging, like the Woketown video. And I did something similar with the video for New World Order. Yeah, learn video editing, learn, you know, how to do graphic design. You, as an independent artist, you just wear so many hats. You're booking agent, you're the music video director, you're the webmaster, you're the songwriter, you're the band leader, you're everything.
Yeah, and there's always like something you're leaving on the table that you're not doing right. There's always some new social media that you're not addressing or something like this. It's like, how do you pick your battles?
Oh, yeah, man. I had to say the biggest struggle for me is social media. I hate social media. Like, I really just hate it. I think it's just like detrimental for the human race.
It's terrible, dude. It is.
It's the so worst. Gross. And I think a lot of this stuff that we're dealing with and talking about, like the, you know, this like woke ideology, it wouldn't be as prevalent if it wasn't being reinforced by social media and people weren't feeling so isolated that they needed to like connect as some kind of collectivist thing. But they're so disconnected from people in the real world. And a lot of that is because of social media, and people talk to each other on social media the ways that they would never interact with you in person. You know, like, so that's for me the biggest struggle is being active on social media. And it's all just clout chasing. It's all just an attention economy. So it can be very demoralizing and very exhausting. I just try to keep positive about it. And like, if you believe in something that you created, you know, like a new piece of art, a new song. It. Yeah, you want to share it with the world. I think every artist wants to do that, right? We create because we feel the sense that we need to do it, but then we also like need to share it. And unfortunately, right now, social media is the way to do that. But I wish we could go back to the times where like I would be on the mailing list for my favorite band in my hometown, and they would send me a postcard like every month showing like their upcoming gigs, or like maybe every couple months, I'd just get a postcard in the mail and I'd be like, oh, they're playing at like Nick's Fat City on Friday. Cool. And that's how I'd find out about shows and like going to clubs and coffee houses. I miss those days.
Back in the 90s, man, we could pretend like we were above it all. You know, we were like, we would scoff at any kind of promotion and act like we were, anybody who cared about that stuff was sellouts. And, you know, that's so far from where we are now. The thing is, yeah, you could say I hate social media, and I totally, yeah, it just feels exhausting to always have to post, to always have to, you know, promote and do all this stuff. It's kind of demoralizing on one level. But then if you don't do it, there's this other voice inside you that creeps up, like you're letting yourself down. You're not doing enough. You're like, you kind of like, I don't know. Sometimes I'll go into periods where I just want to cocoon back into my own world. And as an artist in the 90s, you used to be able to do that, just like sort of disappear for 6 months and just allow work to sort of blossom within you. And you didn't have to sort of constantly be outward, you know?
Even just the output of artists, right? It's like you could do an album and then, you know, maybe tour on that, promote that for 2 years, maybe say take some time off, then write a new album and put something out 2 years, 3 years down the road. Now it's like artists kind of, if you're going to stay relevant and you're going to stay in people's feeds, you have to be kind of putting out stuff every couple of months, like a new single. Everything's like now singles. It's that really saddens me.
Dude, yeah. Not even that. I mean, you have to put little clips, like if you put the whole, like a lot of times I'll lazily just put the whole song on Instagram, you know what I mean? Because I'm like, and then I realize that's letting it down. You have to do clips and do like little 10 second teasers or 30 second things, and just portions of the song it even works better, you know?
Yeah, because it's the attention span is getting smaller and smaller for the public, right? So, which is, I was going to say, like, it's sad to me that like a lot of people, younger generations, aren't going to listen to albums anymore. And they've never even experienced, like, I was up in Nashville last week and I went to this really cool record store, and it had a bar in it. And like, you get coffee drinks, you could get, you know, other drinks. And then there was records and CDs, so you could shop while you're drinking. It was like so cool. And cool. I thought to myself, the younger generations, there's like kids in their 19, like in their teens and their early 20s, they've never been inside a record store. Like, that's so depressing to me. Like, they don't know that experience of like going through and trying to, you know, finding something in the bargain bin, or seeking out that new album and checking out, opening it up and seeing the artwork and reading the liner notes. Like, that was magic to me. Oh, it still is.
And if if you got your album in Tower Records back in the day, like especially if you were on one of the big billboards outside, your album cover was there, and then your record was in the listening station. There was always like 10 listening stations. If your CD was in the listening station, that was huge, man. I remember the first time my second album came out, and it was on the side of the Tower Records, and it was in the listening stations. And I was just like, holy crap. I felt like I made it, man. I felt like I have arrived.
You were on the side of where you were on the billboard?
Yeah.
Wow, dude, that's so cool. Right there on Sunset huge. Boulevard. It's so so amazing. I used to
and in New York City.
That's on so
Broadway,
dope. Or,
yeah, is it Broadway? Where was Tower? Yeah.
I used to live in LA, and I would go to that Tower Records. They would put out new albums on Sunset. Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So at like 12:01, like midnight on Monday night, they would let you come in and buy the new albums. And I remember I'd be out there with like a group of people. I remember one night I was in line with Questlove. You know, he was there to get like the new Ludacris album or Jadakiss album or something, and I was there to get the new Ryan Adams. I missed, you know, that music sadly has been like devalued by a lot of like social media and the internet, and I hate that, man. We gotta bring back, like, you know, physical media. In a world where they want us to own nothing and be happy, we should own things. We should have our music in a place where we can play it and have it, and it's not dependent upon the cloud or some streaming service owned by some billionaire in another country.
So true, man. That's a bygone era. I'm glad I got to experience it, you know, but there you go. I mean, that tune Woke Town too, the production is excellent. It's raucous. It kind of reminds me of Pavement and the Rolling Stones or something like that. Were you a fan of Pavement?
I had that one. I had Crooked Rain. I think that was their big best album.
Crooked Rain. So good.
I got to pull that out. I haven't listened to it in a while. I probably have it on my shelf here somewhere. I got into that album a little bit, but I was never like hardcore. But definitely I went down, you know, the rabbit hole with the Stones and, you know, from the early stuff to even the more recent stuff. There's so many great Rolling Stones songs.
Yeah, I like your sound, man. I like the rock and roll. I like the guitar. I heard the sort of slide stuff and just the gang vocals, too. I remember when you played the song live, you were like, it misses the harmonies. And I can hear what you mean. It likes those harmonies you chose there.
Thank you. Yeah, and in that choir, our friend, our mutual friend Brad from Five Times August is singing in there in that breakdown section. And then my friends... Jude Roberts and Tim Thompson and Mano Elia. So it's like, Tim I got all Thompson. These like, yeah, man, all my friends, singer songwriters and freedom fighters, getting in there. So
shout out to the freedom fighters, Tim Thompson, Brad Skistamis, Five Times August. We are here with Gene Owens of Faithless Town. We're going to take a quick break and listen to another song right after these words on TNT.
I said, could she die? And the doctor said she could. It was so scary.
When I started clawing at my neck and trying to breathe, and I thought, you know, what are we going to do if I die here? How's everyone going to go on?
When someone's gravely sick or injured in the bush, they rely on the Royal Flying Doctor Service. But now the Flying Doctor needs your help to fund vital medical equipment and supplies. Please search Flying Doctor online to give a regular gift of just $10. You can help equip the Flying Doctor's teams to respond to any emergency anywhere. Search Flying Doctor online. Become a part of the Royal Flying Doctor Service and help save lives in the bush.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. Prediabetes does. One in three adults has prediabetes, but with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. And you can change the outcome. Take the 1 minute prediabetes risk test today. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT, with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast.
Obey, obey, safe and effective. Obey, obey, comply, safe and effective. Compliance is a huge talking point these days, Gene. They got everybody to comply with social shame. If you didn't comply, you got shame to the ends of your world. The song we're about to play is called Do Not Comply. How did you have the sort of wherewithal to not comply in a world where basically all of our contemporaries, most of them, were complying?
That's a great question. You know, for me, I was skeptical of the entire COVID narrative. I'm skeptical of the government. You know what I mean? I think we were lied to about 9/11. I think we've been lied to about the JFK assassination. We definitely, in it's common knowledge, we've been lied to about why we got into Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin, all these things. There's just a series of lies, or a lot of reasons to not trust the government. So when the government was saying there's this horrible thing and we have to shut down the world for it and you have to all shutter in your homes, I was skeptical. And then I started reaching out to healthcare professionals that I was friends with, people that worked in ERs and people worked in hospitals. And they were saying, oh, like, we're not seeing anything. Like, they weren't saying this publicly, but on the phone, they'd be like, yeah, we keep waiting for the wave to come and it never comes. Or telling me, like, there's all these new protocols that are insane that might actually be hurting the people, like rushing people into ventilators. So right off the bat, I was like, we're being lied to. And I can't go along with something that I know is a lie in my heart. Because at the end of the day, I need to be able to sleep at night. And a lot of people can just kind of go along with things. You know, they'll get an injection that they don't think they need to go on a cruise or to go see 21 pilots at a, you know, State Farm Arena. I don't know. I'm just not built like that.
Yeah, I have a friend who told me he's got tinnitus and and I was like, I didn't know if he took the jab or not, but I was like, I've heard tinnitus as a side effect of that. And I was like, I wonder if he took the jab or not. He said he did so that he could keep touring. And he said, but I'm not happy about it. You know, and this is somebody who doesn't really speak out against it. I think there's a lot of people that feel that way now. Do you think that COVID was real? I mean, I know David Icke is writing a lot on X stuff. I think I saw a tweet where he was like saying that it wasn't even real and the flu disappeared and it was all just a big psyop. Where are you on that? Do you, not to put you in the hot seat again, if you don't want to talk about that, but do you think it existed, or do you think the whole thing was a psyop and a conversion of the flu and that they killed people with remdesivir and ventilators and all that and amped it up?
Yeah, I think it's that. I don't think there was a pandemic. I don't think there was a pandemic in 2020. You know, I fled Los Angeles because it became a police state overnight. I came to Georgia, and in most places of rural Georgia, life was just normal. People were living their lives. I was going to anti-lockdown rallies, and there were hundreds of people. I was going to events where people were still meeting and going. I started going to church, even though I'm agnostic. I started attending this Baptist church because I discovered this pastor, and I really liked his speeches, Pastor Danny Jones from Northlake Baptist. I was, you know, in church with hundreds and hundreds of people hugging, people shaking hands. Nobody was getting sick. So I don't think there was a pandemic. I think, was there some new coronavirus, the family of the common cold? Maybe there's some new strand. Was it any more deadly than the seasonal flu or the normal colds? I don't believe so. I think it was so nebulous that had there been no media reaction, no government reaction, that it would have gone unnoticed by the general public and life would have been normal. And there wouldn't have been the division. There wouldn't people losing their lives. I mean, I have friends that killed themselves in deaths of isolation and desperation and depression. People that have lost their businesses. None of that would have happened. Those of us that lost friends because we spoke out. All that division, all that heartache, all that human carnage was all pointless and needless, in my opinion. Because, yeah, I don't think there was any new virulent virus killing people. I think it was the flu rebranded. It was all a psychological operation, in my opinion.
I tend to agree with you. There are people that say humanity has shifted and that now this goes against everything you just said, but that there was some sort of bioweapon that has shifted humanity in general, when you could argue the vaccine or the so-called vaccine is that as well. Do you think humanity shifted in a strange way? Or do you think that is also a result of just the extreme pressure we've all lived under?
I think things are shifting constantly. I think they're changing so fast. And because of the internet, because of social media, because of the just constant influx of information, it's hard for us to keep up. And because all of our social norms are under constant attack. And I think like we're in the throes, and that was like what Woketown's touching on. We're in the throes of a cultural revolution. And the Marxists lay down the cultural revolution first before it precedes the actual bloody revolution. And that's what we're in the throes of right now. You know, the five pillars of culture are all being targeted and being undone. All our social norms are under attack, right? Religion, family, education, media, law, all that is being infiltrated and subverted. And that's what's shifting. Like and it's happening very fast. Like it's happening incrementally, but since 2016 and it's just ramped up a million times.
That's well said, man. Well put. I hadn't thought about it like that with the five pillars. I never even heard the five pillars before.
You gotta check out this book right here, Race Marxism by James Lindsay. You gotta check it out. I mean, you want to learn about what woke is and what critical race theory is, what critical theory is. It's an excellent book. It's not light reading though. I mean, I'm not even halfway through. I think I've been reading it for a couple months.
Wow. All right. Well, let's listen to the next song. You want to set it up for us?
Absolutely. So this next tune is Do Not Comply, and it appears on Into the Light Volume 1, which is the first part of this two-part album that we started in 2022. And it's about to have its two-year anniversary because the album came out in April of 2022. We put out the video for Do Not Comply in June of that year, and it got banned from YouTube almost immediately. So you're about to play a banned video. Hope it doesn't get you deplatformed, TNT.
I think we'll be all right.
Oh, I think you'll be okay too.
Times are changing. They're getting more accepting. Let's hope. Anyway, this is Faithless Town with Do Not Comply. Do Not Comply. That was Faithless Town. Gene Owens, the main guy from Faithless Town, is here with us now. Another good one, man. Rock and roll kind of reminds me of The Replacements and The Clash.
Dig it, man. Thank you. I love both those bands. So yeah, I'm very flattered. Yeah, to me, it kind of had like a Doors vibe. You know, I'm a big Doors fan. I think I was like trying to get that kind of Alabama song Doors thing happening. But it was also semi-inspired by Five Times August, Sad Little Man. So I was kind of playing along with that. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, I haven't really heard that kind of that rhythm in a tune in a while. And I started kind of playing around with that. And that kind of led to like the musical, catalyst for that song, Do Not Comply.
Yeah, Five Times August, Brad Skistamis, he's an inspirational dude for sure. You talk about Jim Morrison. It's so funny when I think about him passing away at 27, because his music was so fully realized. You know, the Doors were just so good, and he was just so evolved artistically at such a young age. And I think of Jimi Hendrix the same way, 27. It seems like in the past, people got older faster. I saw a post on X where this guy was like, me at 16, my grandfather at 16, and the grandfather looked like a man basically, and the modern 16-year-old just looked like a boy. It's like, what do you think of that? Do you think like society and manhood has been sort of dumbed down, or people aren't as sort of self-possessed anymore as they were back in the day?
Well, I think the aging thing is because life was just a lot harder, you know, a lot more difficult. I was raised basically by my grandparents, and my grandfather worked in steel mills, and he was the first generation to be born in this country, with his father having emigrated from Naples, Italy before, and then having served in World War II. You know, it's like, just think about that generation compared to the generation now and the hardships people face. And I think that's why people can fall, like, believe that like everything is oppression and everything is horrible. These people have never really felt like hard work and like true adversity. That's part of it. And then, yeah, I think, you know, I mean, there's, and you'd ask something about manhood. I do think just like masculinity and manhood is being attacked at all turns. And that's once again about like attacking like traditional norms and also going against the people that can maybe pose a resistance to any sort of like cultural or physical takeover of your country. Or, you know, you have to emasculate them. That's why we've seen over the past, like, you know, almost 10 years now, this constant attack on what it's meant to be masculine. And it's odd that I feel like I have to carry the torch for that, because I'm like a sensitive singer songwriter dude that like listens to the Smiths and gets misty eyed, you know, like the fact that I have to be like, we have to be masculine. Like, it's okay to be masculine. It's okay to do dude things. It's kind of insane that that's where we're at.
Well, it goes with what we opened the interview up with before. It's like things that we wouldn't have thought we would ever sort of stand for. Because I know what you mean, the whole sort of be a man, you know, but it is important because we are here to lead. You know, we are here to sort of connect with God. And I think a lot of that stuff is the fact that our connection with God or something eternal is frayed by all the devices and the distractions, and it neuters us basically. And it makes it harder for us to mature in a way that is godly, I would say.
Well, I think we are seeing what happens to a civilization when you take religion out of it, when you take God out of the scenario. You know, I think a lot of people just need, they have that God-sized hole in them and they need something to fill it. I'm still personally an agnostic. You know, I'm like the poster in Mulder's office in X-Files. I want to believe. I want to believe. I really do.
You got to believe, Gene. Come on. What else? We didn't just appear here from nothing. Anyway, well, that's a whole other conversation, and we got about 30 seconds left, so tell everyone where to find you, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Joseph. I love our conversations. Great Same. Connecting with you. You can find me at faithlesstown.com, faithlesstown on all the socials. See us on X, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. And stay tuned. We got some new songs coming soon. I'm back in the studio.
All right, Gene Owens, thanks for coming on, man, again. And we'll keep listening to Faithless.